Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB, Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we are sharing a pre-recorded interview with Ellie B., our new foster daughter. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, thank you guys for having me here today.
So happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ellie came to us just over 2 weeks ago, and things are going very, very smoothly. You'll get to hear from Ellie and what she thinks about the new year and the world only as a 17 and a half year old can.
Yes, tonight is special indeed. But before we talk to Ellie B, here's Greg Moralia with news and events.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for this Sunday, January 1st, 2017. Happy New Year, everyone. Well, 2016 was a crazy year in so many ways, with gains and losses for the LGBT community. The military ended its transgender ban, Chelsea Manning's gender affirmation surgery was approved, and the Stonewall Inn became the first national LGBT monument. But we also saw bathroom bills introduced in states across the country, and we were heartbroken on June 12th by the massacre at the Pulse Bar in Orlando, Florida. Our trusted news partner, The Advocate magazine, highlighted a number of top stories making news in 2016. On January 6th, Alabama's anti-gay Chief Justice Roy Moore defied the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on marriage equality by ordering probate judges to deny marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And on March 9th, for the first time in 25 years, LGBT groups marched in New York City's St. Patrick's Day Parade. On March 23rd, North Carolina's now-famous House Bill 2, known as the Bathroom Bill, was signed into law by Governor McCrory after an emergency meeting of the state legislature. Gender-neutral pronouns were added to the Washington Post's official writing style guide on March 29th. And on April 6th, dozens of major corporations stood up to Mississippi's anti-LGBT law in a strong show of support for our basic civil rights. On May 17th, Eric Fanning, a gay man, was confirmed by the United States Senate as the Secretary of the Army, making him the highest-ranking gay man to serve at the Pentagon. A month later, on June 17th, the country of Istanbul banned LGBT pride celebrations, citing concerns over public safety following the shooting at the Pulse Bar on June 12th. Turkish police used water cannons, tear gas, and rubber bullets on those trying to celebrate LGBT pride. On June 24th, President Obama made history by naming the Stonewall Inn the first LGBT national monument. He said, quote, "The riots became protests, the protests became a movement. The movement ultimately became an integral part of America," end quote. And then just 3 days later, on June 27th, citing the shooting at the Pulse Bar, Pope Francis apologized for the Catholic Church for how gay people have been treated. On June 30th, the Pentagon eliminated the long-term ban on transgender people serving openly in the U.S. military. And then on September 15th, Indonesia banned gay apps, including Grindr, Scruff, Radar, and others they say, quote, "promote LGBT and pornography," end quote. And finally, the first presidential debate hosted by an openly gay moderator took place on October 9th, with CNN anchor Anderson Cooper at the podium. With the uncertainty of 2017 in front of us, this is a great time to reflect on the huge civil rights gains our community has experienced over the last 8 years. In 2009, the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act was signed into law by President Obama, expanding federal protections based on sexual orientation and gender identity. In 2011, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was eliminated, allowing non-heterosexuals to serve openly in the U.S. military. In 2013, two landmark decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court were rendered, including the demise of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. And then, of course, in 2015, the most significant civil rights decision of our time, marriage equality, became the law of the land on June 26th. As we start 2017, your Outbeat Radio team is committed to providing you with accurate news, and we're committed to using our time on the air to keep you educated about all of the issues and events that unfold. The reality today is that we don't know what changes the new president will make, but we'll be watching closely and sharing them all with you as we learn. In the coming weeks, we're going to focus on news stories and events that have impact on our community, and we're dedicating the upcoming Outbeat Extras, which air on the fifth Sunday of the month, to all aspects of our fight for LGBT equality. Our work starts this month, just after Inauguration Day on Sunday, January 29th. Your Outbeat Radio team will come together for a roundtable discussion about strategies on how best to move forward. In the meantime, stay connected with Outbeat Radio News using our Facebook and Twitter feeds. You'll find links at outbeatnews.com. For a complete calendar of LGBT events and meetings happening this coming week, go to our community calendar at gaysonoma.com. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And in studio tonight, we are sitting with Ellie B., our new foster daughter. Welcome once again, Ellie.
Thank you.
We're so glad you joined us tonight. And we feel really happy that you're with us. In fact, you came to us about 2 weeks ago.
December 2nd.
And that's a very special day for Diana and myself. Because
it's our anniversary. How many years? 39 years together. Yes. And we invited Ellie into our home on that special day.
Yes, we did. And that day we spent the day together, and then we went and had dinner somewhere, and then we picked up Ellie around 7 o'clock and brought her home. And it was a very smooth transition, I might say. Mm-hmm. How was it for you, Ellie? How was that first night moving in?
It was a little strange at first because I'd only met you guys a few times. But, you know, after being here for a couple weeks, I've been able to get situated and be able to become more comfortable with you guys. And it's been really great because I've noticed we have a lot in common. Diana and I both write, and Sheridan and I both love to create art. And hopefully one day we can do art together.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
Also, I really love theater, and it's something that I really want to pursue as a career. And both you guys have are participating and directing and doing all these things with a new play that I've really been excited about. And hopefully I can be part of, all with helping. And
Sounds great. I know, it's amazing, the connections in all these different areas. And Ellie didn't mention, but we're going to mention about we're inviting Ellie to be a part of our radio show. She will do a 5-minute segment every show, something to do with the youth. And so she has something special for today, knowing that we're going to be talking about New Year's. So let's hear Ellie's editorial.
I'm Ellie V, and this is my editorial. I love the idea of celebrating New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I think it's an important time to bring in and accept new challenges and changes in our lives. I believe it is also an important time to sit down and be appreciative of what the previous year had brought us. My family and I typically celebrated the New Year by staying up and watching the ball drop on TV. At midnight, we would pop open our bottles of sparkling apple cider and laugh the night away. Although I cherish the festive time from December 31st to January 1st, I don't exactly believe in setting New Year's resolutions. I think they're too overplayed in America's culture today. However, I do think that setting personal goals are a vital part in growing and expanding our horizons. I think New Year's resolutions are unnecessary because if we really wanted to accomplish a certain goal, we'd be serious about it and would make time to accomplish it instead of procrastinating and waiting until the next year to get started. On top of all of that, most New Year's resolutions are usually only temporary because many people who set them only stick to them for about a month or two until they forget, lose track, or decide it's no longer their top priority. Although I'm not making any New Year's resolutions this year, I've been working on some personal goals, such as getting my driver's license and getting my first paid job. Accomplishing these goals will allow me to have more independence and freedom in my life. Despite whether you create new goals or New Year's resolutions, it's important to know that personal growth brings happiness. That's what I'm looking for. Have a happy New Year, everybody.
Wow, that was really terrific, Ellie. How was that for you to record your thoughts and to hear them now on the radio?
I really like recording, whether it's music or poetry or any kind of, you know, my opinions on things. And I've been on a radio station called KOWS in Sebastopol a couple of times with my music class, and I really enjoy it, and I'm excited.
It was really great. I love your voice. You have a very, very nice voice on radio, so that's great.
Thank you.
You know what was interesting in your editorial? You really made the distinction between New Year's resolutions versus goals. I would like to hear more about that, because that's interesting. So say more about that.
I think personal goals are things that you set for yourself no matter what day it is, whether it's, you know, December 31st and you're conjuring up, oh, what's your New Year's resolution going to be? And personal goals are more kind of spontaneous things like, oh, well, this is something I need to work on. Or, you know, and it's not set at a specific date. It's just something that you are aware of that you need to get help on or learn or become more confident or, you know.
Yeah. So I'm curious about where did this come from? You have any idea what New Year's resolutions? Because people wait. They like, okay, you know, whatever the situation is, and most of it's weight or exercise. I want to exercise, I want to do this, or I want to buy a house or something. But it seemed like people wait till the last minute to like, okay, I'm going to wait till New Year's and then I start. But I love what your point is, LA, that it's like whenever you feel the desire or the need.
It's kind of like why start today when you can put it off tomorrow or, you know. When people are like, oh, well, you know, I'll start my diet tomorrow, or, you know, I'm just going to eat one chip and then walk away, you know. It's like, and I know a lot of the times with resolutions, New Year's resolutions, people tend to make really big goals, and instead of having little baby steps, they say, oh, I'm going to lose 150 pounds this year, and then they never do it, or they just forget about it or becomes less on their radar, and it's not as big of a goal that they want in their life at the moment.
It's hard to accomplish 150 pounds. It's so overwhelming that even if you have good intentions, you know, after trying hard for maybe a month, it's like, this is really hard.
And disappointing maybe, when you don't get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody lost 5 pounds or 10 pounds. And just imagine if that had been their goal.
Then they feel more confident, yeah, in wanting to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Like so, 5 months prior, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, versus waiting to the New Year's. Yeah, yeah. So, wow, good discussion. Thank you for that, the clarification on goals versus, you know. Yeah, I like that. I think that's what we do mostly. Don't you, Cher? I kind of tend to set a goal. This is what I want to do, and I just go for it. I don't wait till the new year.
I think the new year is it's a marker. It is an artificial marker, but it is a marker that people look forward to. They go, okay, I'm going to wait. And then, you know, January 1st, I'm going to start over. And at least they are thinking that way. But they could say the same thing, I'm going to start tomorrow.
Why wait?
Yeah, why wait? and, you know, the waiting part, like, let's say January 1st is 2 weeks away, and so they give themselves a date of January 1st so they know they can do whatever it is they can do whatever it is they want to stop for two more weeks, and that makes them feel good, right? So the thing about it is when that day comes, when you say, okay, I'm going to start, a person feels like they're depriving themselves. They're gonna not want to do it after a while if they feel deprived. And I think the whole idea is reworking it so you're not feeling deprived. You know you're feeling better. You're getting healthier. If you decided to stop smoking, let's say, you're not depriving yourself of the smoking. What you're doing is you're giving yourself more breath in your lungs. Mm-hmm. And it's just a way of rethinking goals, I think. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So anyways, that was good. So this is the new year, but that was 2016. So what happened in 2016? Did you make resolutions? Did you make resolutions, Ellie? I made resolutions.
What were your resolutions, Diana?
Well, one was my play. That was something I wanted to do in 2016, and I achieved that goal. And to do a health practice, and I'm doing that health practice. So I'm doing Reiki every morning. But I was late getting started on that. But I had very few goals that I really, or resolutions that I put in my little envelope and folded it and licked it and tuck it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I try and do what you say, Ellie. I try and make goals. I set my goals and I just go for it. I don't just wait. And so I'm really happy that I do it that way. It feels more comfortable and real for me.
Could you, before we get to Ellie, and I know you want to ask her some questions about 2016, you mentioned your play, and I'm just wondering, for someone who's listening for the first time to our show, could you talk a little bit about your play, Diana, and say the name of it and what you've done in this past year?
Yeah. Well, my play is an LGBTQ play, Private Lives, Private Lies. And it's a very powerful play with a lot of important messages. And it's something that I really wanted to bring forth. I wanted to bring LGBTQ lives visible, make their lives visible, bring them to the stage. And so I have these four vignettes. So Facebook me, look me up, Private Lives, Private Lies. We have a new promo video out. That wasn't a plan goal, but it happened. Anyways, so yeah, take a look at Private Lives, Private Lies online. Look at YouTube, our promos. We have a two up there, and learn more about it. But yes, I accomplished it. I have 17 actors working on the stage, doing wonderful work. So I'm really excited about it. Thank you for asking about that clarification. Yeah. And we had plays in Santa Rosa, Grayton. We had plays in, what do you call it? Cloverdale, Ukiah. And January 7th and 8th, we're going to be in Napa.
All right. So you heard it from the playwright's mouth, January 7th and 8th at Lucky Penny Community Arts Performance Space in Napa. If you haven't seen Diana's play, it's another opportunity to see it. Or tell your friends and family about it who live maybe in Napa.
Yeah. Lucky Penny Productions, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Ellie, getting back to you in 2016, I see a list in front of you. Can you tell us, before you tell us what's on the list, can you tell us what's on the list?
Yeah. these are some personal goals that I strive to accomplish in the previous year, 2016.
Okay, and so these were not New Year's resolutions, but just goals, okay?
So some of the most important ones I'm going to read and then talk about whether or not I feel I've accomplished them. Number one was to become more confident in myself and my body, to stand up for what I believe in, to be true to myself and others, to not let a romantic relationship get in the way of my friendships, to become stronger physically and emotionally, to not chase after people who are just going to tear me down, and to be my own role model. Mm. For the most part, I feel like I have accomplished a lot of these. I've, you know, for the past few months, I've been enrolled at a weightlifting class at Annaly High School, and I feel I've become a lot stronger than I was. I've beat my personal record and lifted 390 pounds with my legs.
Oh, wow.
Just last week. So I feel like I've become stronger physically in that way. Also emotionally, because I've gone through a lot in my life and I feel like I've been really carrying it through and being able to separate what's going on with me mentally and being able to really cope with things that I've struggled with. I have, the past year, I've held a lot of grudges towards people, but I've learned that forgiving, isn't about the other person. It's about yourself and not letting that affect you, because holding grudges really puts a strain on you and your mind and how your future relationships will be with other people and how you're going to trust other people. So
how do you, can I just ask you, how do you get rid of a grudge? I mean, isn't it more than just saying, okay, I'm not going to have a grudge against that person? Because a lot of people hold grudges. So what would your advice be to someone who's holding a grudge? How did you get rid of it?
With me, when I hold grudges, I tend to sweep it under the rug like it doesn't bother me, but really it does. It just eats at me and eats at me until I don't know what to do with myself anymore. But I think really coming to terms with why you're upset and, you know, talking to that person who may have hurt you or, you know, affected you negatively is the best way. I know, you know, talking to that person may or may not feel like the best way to get through something, but forgiving yourself and forgiving that other person or people is the best way. Just learn how to deal with it and not just keep sweeping things under the rug like it doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate your honesty around that, because that's what happens when people hold a grudge. They try and sweep it away but not talk. Mm-hmm. And to talk about those feelings are really important. It's scary, mm-hmm. but it's doable. You can do it.
With relationships, you know, I've in the past forced a lot of relationships because I wanted to make the other people feel satisfied or happy. But I really learned that right now I'm not ready to be in a relationship or a romantic relationship with anyone. That I just want to date and see what people are like and get to know people and just have fun, not having to worry that, you know, it's a really serious relationship, because really, like, the most important people to me are my friends and family, and that's really what I want to focus on for right now in my life. And
Well, can I ask you a question about dating? Because, you know, this show is for the LGBT community, and mm-hmm. people might not know how you identify, and I was wondering if you might share that.
Yeah. I identify as pansexual. For the most part, I tell people that I'm bisexual because a lot of people don't understand what pansexual is. But basically, I don't really care what gender you identify with or as, just if you're a good person. I really like people's different personalities and experiences, and I like learning about people and talking to them and really getting to know someone before I get into a relationship with, whether it's a girl or a boy or someone that doesn't identify with either or identifies with both or more than two genders. So, you know, I've had a lot of experience with the LGBT community, and even one of my parents is transgender, so, you know, I'm really accepting, and I think, you know, I really am against gender norms and things like that, and expectations for women to be looked at as a certain way, same with men. And, you know, I'm open to being with in a relationship when I'm ready with anyone, mm-hmm. As long as I like them, mm-hmm. In wow. certain ways.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, people who are older don't really understand all the letters after Q.
And even some people that are my age don't.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so the whole pansexual is new for a lot of people mm-hmm. as well. So thank you for explaining that. From what I'm understanding, you saying is that you would be interested in dating anyone as long as they're a nice person and that you might find them fun to be around. It doesn't really matter about you. You don't want a certain type. You don't want a certain person. You're open to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very open.
Yes, very open. Okay, thank you. Ellie, so we heard you say you had a transgender parent. So could you share a little bit about your parent with the audience?
Mm-hmm. I was raised by two parents. My biological father came out when I was about 5 or 6 years old to my mother. And, you know, he said that he identified as being a woman and wanted to change his name and wear dresses and felt like he was a woman and wanted to look the way he wanted to look and live the way that he wanted to live and that he was holding back a lot his entire life. And growing up, I really didn't understand that as a 5-year-old kid. And my mother, my biological mother, had no idea. My dad had held it for such a long time and tried to hide that he was a woman. And, you know, he pretended to be very masculine and tough and manly man, you know. And that's just not who he was or who he wanted to be or who he identified with and as. But it was very tough for my mom to understand because she felt that my dad was, like, lying to her, which I guess in some ways he was because he wasn't being honest or truthful with who he was and who he wanted to be, as well as some other issues that my parents had financially and they had argued a lot. So when I was about 6 years old, they got a divorce. I moved to Florida with my brother and my mom. And for about 10 years, I hadn't seen my dad or talked to him or pursued any type of relationship with him. And when I was about 16 years old, I decided to talk with him and get to know more about him and how he was living. And I even had asked him if I could identify her with female pronouns, and she was very happy that I had asked her that. So now I call her. She also goes by mom, so I call her my mom as well. So when people ask me about my parents, I say that I have two moms. Well, now I say that I have four moms because I have two foster moms and two other moms. So it's kind of hard to explain. It's kind of a long story, but you know, she's really happy that I'm open to calling her my mom because my brother isn't that accepting and neither are her parents and siblings. So, she's very happy that I've, have been able to understand the way she lives and not judge her for the way she wants to live and be and identify as. And she has a boyfriend and, she still has some struggles, as does everyone else, but, You know, I think she's starting to accept herself a lot more after coming out after 10 plus years ago. Mm.
And so, again, you're so open and so accepting. You haven't had any problems with your dad coming out as a woman, female?
I grew up in the South, and I went to church for 8 years, and my grandparents raised me for about 8 years in Florida. And, you know, things were a lot different in Florida. And when I was little, from when I was 6 to, I don't know, 12 years old, I really believed, just like my grandpa did. And that's how I was raised. So I said, oh, well, you know, my friends believe the way that their parents do. So maybe I should believe the way that my grandparents do. So I kind of learned to live the way that they wanted me to. And I tried to live up to their expectations. And, you know.
And what, not accept?
Yeah, I wasn't very accepting uh-huh. because, you know, that's how I was raised. From when I was 6 to 14 years old, I didn't understand, you know, the whole LGBT community. And I had experimented having relationships with other girls, but I never, you know, identified as being bisexual until I was about 14. And... you know, it was a struggle for me because I was made fun of a lot when I finally told my friends that my dad was transgender. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was painful. And I was really able to understand what it was like to be an outcast, mm-hmm. especially being in the LGBT community. But since I've moved to California, people are way more accepting. I mean, I haven't been to Southern California, but in where I live in Northern California, people seem a lot more accepting than they are in, you know, the South. I've been to multiple places, not just Florida, but, you know, so, and I've come out to my grandparents and, well, my grandpa, my grandma passed away before I'd come out, but yeah, my grandpa.
So your attitude has changed mm-hmm. since being in California.
Yep.
Yeah, good old California.
Well, this is a good time to take a music break, and Ellie has a song that she's brought, and so she's going to introduce it.
Now I'm going to be sharing a lovely song performed by Miley Cyrus. Lyrics were written by Linda Perry, and it's called The Hands of Love. When this song was released in 2015, it focused mainly on the struggle for gay rights and equality. Some of the lyrics that stand out to me are the lines stating, "In the hands of love, we carry on stronger than we started. Wicked is the blinded." I hope you enjoy the song, and thank you for listening.
When the white flag sails, covered in streaks of blood, there'll be an endless sea of hands rising up, and the preacher man and the preacher's son will stand on just like that. Fade away. We shed so many dreams all at the fair.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan, and we have Ellie in studio with us tonight. And Ellie shared one of her most favorite songs by Miley Cyrus, Hands of Love, which we just heard. And we had never heard that song before, and it's truly beautiful. And I like how you talked about it being part of the LGBT community song. I didn't know that about her. So that's very, very beautiful. We are talking about New Year's. This is New Year's Day. And we're talking about goals versus New Year's resolutions. And Ellie had a hypothesis earlier in her editorial that she feels goals are a little more realistic than New Year's resolutions. And so that's what we're doing right now, talking about goals.
The main question that we're going to have a discussion about is, what stops people from following those resolutions or goals? Well, there's a couple things that come up for me. People procrastinate. And why do they procrastinate? Because perhaps they have negative voices that get in the way of them being successful, feeling successful.
Their inner critic.
Mm-hmm. Inner critic. Say more.
Well, everyone has kind of an inner critic that makes them feel that maybe they're not worthy of accomplishing something or being successful or being happy. Also, maybe self-doubt can come from people that have said, oh, you can't do this, or, oh, you're not strong enough to do this, or you're not good enough, whatever it is.
I can't,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Or they blame somebody else, put the blame somewhere else versus taking responsibility for themselves.
And all that's procrastinating, whether they're blaming someone else or they're listening to their inner critic. Yeah. It all comes down to procrastinating because they're not doing what it is that they really want to do.
Right. And fear. Fear gets in the way of people meeting their goals as well. For whatever the reason, they have a lot of fear. And fear is huge. Ellie, you have a story about a time where you procrastinated or felt failure or something that you don't want to move forward, something that stopped you from moving forward?
I think a part of procrastinating can also come with self-sabotage, whether it's because it's fear of rejection. You feel like, oh, well, you know, for me at least, I was waiting for a long time to get into foster care, and I was like, oh, it's never going to happen, you know? And so I just kept, like, self-sabotaging because I knew that, oh, you know, this is never going to happen for me, so I might as well just quit trying. And finally, I found you guys, and you guys were my first foster family that I had even met before, and you guys were local, which is what I wanted, and we had a lot in common. And I guess it came with, you know, all that trouble and impatience that I had came along with procrastinating and self-sabotage, which are not very good qualities, but I think everyone has some type of, whether it's procrastination or impatience or self-sabotage, there's always something that holds us back.
Mm-hmm. And look at it. Look at us. You stuck to it. You stayed with it, and look at us. That's a great story. Wow. You never give up. That's another good point. Don't give up. Once you get those negative voices out of the way, stay with what your goal is, one step at a time. I'm thinking about my own self. And as a marriage family therapist, it's hard for me to get stuck. Because I believe in practicing what I preach. And so if I'm sitting in the office and clients are coming to me for help in these certain areas around procrastination and negative voices and holding grudges and being stuck and fear of failure and all of those things, I try not to get stuck. And I have always been, sure, I mean, you could speak to this. I think I've always been the type of person to push forward.
Always.
I think that came from my childhood. There's a determination inside of me that I didn't have the support as a kid. And so I have this drive in me that I can do it. At first, looking back, I was kind of shy. I didn't talk a lot. And I realized that I had a lot to say because I listened to a lot of people in classes who were talking and talking and talking and didn't make a lot of sense. And so it's like, enough of this, Diana, you have a lot to say. So, you know, put yourself out there. And so I would take the baby steps, what we're talking about. I would take a step and I was like, oh, that went okay. Let me do another step. Then I would do another step. And then another step and a bigger step. But I never went backwards. I always went forward because I know this is something I needed to do. And I stuck with it. And I've accomplished a lot in my life on my own, a lot. I mean, I had to share for my support, but I have done a lot on my own. And so I try and preach that to other people. Don't let anything hold you back.
So, or anybody.
Or anybody. That's a whole nother issue, right? Mm-hmm. People can hold us back.
If we let them. What people think about it. What we think people think.
People think about us, right.
We don't really know what they think unless we have a conversation with them. But a lot of us make up our own stories about what people think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that hold us back.
And a lot of people put their fears on us, right? And hold us back, but we can't let them. I've had a lot of people, I call them naysayers, a lot of naysayers in my life. Oh, don't do this. Or, ooh, nobody's going to give you money for that. Or, you know, some negativity. And I say, who's going to publish your book? It's like, I'm going to publish my own books. You know, it's like, I want it done. I'm going to get it done. And so you just go for it. So that's my attitude. I believe in one foot stepping to the next, mm-hmm. You know, one step at a time, it's going to get done. You just got to believe in it and believe in yourself. Like Ellie was saying, no self-sabotaging. That's why people are not following their goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they give up
mm-hmm.
or their resolutions.
And then the other thing about it is I keep going back to your example, Ellie, of, you know, you said, you know, someone has the goal of losing 150 pounds. And a lot of people have weight issues and they want to lose weight and they use New Year's Day as the day they're going to start, you know. But talking about self-sabotage, okay, they blow it one day. Okay, they had dessert one day. So, all right, so tomorrow's a new day. Let's start over. But people say, oh, I blew it yesterday. I might as well forget it. I blew it yesterday. I'm not perfect, so I'm just going to have that pie again today. And then it's just kind of a snowball. Every day is like, yeah, it's a cycle. And the more that they, you know, eat that pie, the more the worse they're going to feel about themselves, and they're going to keep eating the pie because they're self-sabotaging instead of starting over every day. And that's the thing that we're talking about. That New Year's Day really isn't that realistic of a time to start because people mess up. So then what people have to do, me included, is try again tomorrow. Like Scarlett O'Hara always says in Gone with the Wind, tomorrow is another day.
So Ellie, I'm thinking about you being your age. And I'm curious to how did you come to write your own resolutions that you shared or your goals that you shared? Did you do that in a group or you just wanted to do that on your own? How did that come about?
I remember looking back at it that when I had written those things, I was really struggling with a lot of unhealthy relationships that I had with people. Not romantic relationships, but friendships. You know, they were really controlling. And a lot of the people I thought I was able to trust, but in the end I couldn't. And so that made me feel like I had to close up more. And I wasn't really showing who I was. Mm. I wasn't really representing what I had believed in. And I kind of just, I didn't forget about things that I believed in. I just didn't think they were as important because, you know, I didn't really trust anyone with what I had to say or what I believed in. So why bother? So I decided that the next year was going to be different, that I wanted to make a change and that I did want to open up to people, but only to people that I knew I could trust. And, you know, I've gotten old friends back that I ended friendships with them because my other experiences with other people made me feel like I couldn't trust anyone. So the people that really were there, I ended up pushing away.
Mm.
So I ended up getting those friends back that I really did trust. And I've had much better relationships this year than I have, I think, ever. Really.
Wow. A lot of growth. You seem like you've grown a lot.
So you just came up with that idea on your own, that you're going to have a better year?
I think I had actually read a book where a girl, she wrote about her life growing up and how she wanted to be her own role model. At the very end, that's how she felt. She said, after all these fights she's had with her friends and having, you know, her closest friend be her role model, being the person she compared herself to and wishing she was more like, she ended up being like, screw it. I don't want to compare myself to other people. I don't want anyone else to be on to be my role model. I want myself to be my own role model.
Wow. I want to know the name of that book.
I actually have it written down in my journal, but it's a really good book. And, you know, it really kind of inspired me. I really enjoyed reading the book, and I liked the author. And it inspired me to kind of do my own kind of New Year's resolution twist.
Mm-hmm. So that was a teen book for for teenagers. So I guess somebody's thinking about resolutions or goal setting, right? So you think other, I'm curious what you think your peers, what kind of goals are they setting at this time of year? What would you think would be probably relationship issues, concerns?
Relationship issues, maybe graduating high school.
Grades.
I think, I think trying to live up to people's expectations is something that teenagers especially deal with a lot, because we're the ones that are being raised by our parents or whoever it is raising us. And we feel that we have to live up to their expectations to, be trusted, to be independent. And, for me, at least, disappointment, others being disappointed in me, really holds me back. To feel strong enough to fix it or to feel strong enough to forgive myself or to forgive others. Because I don't want to disappoint people. And for me, disappointment, others being disappointed in me, leads to a feeling of being a failure or being a disappointment. Even though someone is disappointed in me, that doesn't make me a disappointment. It makes my what I've done or my actions maybe disappointing. But when I'm in that frame of mind, it's really hard to think that it's not me. It's really, I just need to change that behavior.
I'm just curious about teens and what they're going through. And would you say that would be a universal thing around being disappointment with others?
You know, it's funny. I don't hear a lot of teenagers saying to their friends, oh, I'm not mad at you, I'm disappointed. I've only ever heard that phrase come out of adults' mouths. Mm-hmm. And usually it's towards their kids or whoever it is that's maybe younger than them.
You got that from some adult or something you're
saying?
Yeah,
a lot of, I've never heard like a kid tell me, I'm not mad at you, I'm very disappointed, you know?
No, I'm just curious because you're using the word disappointment. That's why I wanted to know, was it universal for other kids to, do they talk like that? Do they think like that, that people are disappointed in them?
I also think,
and they want to change that.
I think there's also like self-disappointment where like, you know, you practice doing something for a really long time, or maybe you studied for the past 2 weeks for a test and you failed it even though you've been studying. You're really disappointed, you know. Your own standards for yourself can be a little too high at times, which comes along with being a perfectionist and trying, you know, trying your hardest, but maybe being disappointed because it didn't go the way you thought it would. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's a universal thing for everyone. There's, I think everyone has a little bit of a perfectionist perspective in their heads.
And don't want to make mistakes. Yeah. And so that really is going to hold you back, not wanting to make mistakes.
I wonder where that comes from, seriously, not wanting to make mistakes, because that does hold people back. I mean, you know, as a school teacher, just asking kids to read, a lot of kids would refused because they didn't want to say a word wrong. I mean, but that's how teachers, you know, as a music teacher, you ask kids to play, they play their instruments, and you can see if the kids understand what they're supposed to be playing. So if the reading is the same way, but you know, that fear of failure is so huge that a lot of people would rather suffer than take the risk of maybe success.
Yeah.
And where does that come from? You know,
I don't know. We're not perfect. We're not perfect beings. I'm not perfect. We make mistakes, but we try. You know, we take risks and we try harder. You know, just like an exam, right? You maybe get 95%.
But you were striving to get 100% and you were disappointed in yourself.
Yeah. And you just try and learn those 5 questions maybe you missed and do it better next time, you know?
So I think we're at a point at our show that each of us can take a little time to give advice to our listeners or suggestions to anyone who's listening, even if they're listening a week or two from now. So, Ellie, usually we ask our guests first if they'd like to say anything. You can call it words of wisdom. You can call it suggestions. You can call it advice. But what would you say to people who are listening out there when it comes to goals?
I know with a lot of people, they want results right away. But they want immediate gratification where you just, it comes to you right then. But really, you have to wait. You have to wait and slow down and be patient and take baby steps and not hope for the best when not making any changes. You do have to make changes if you're wanting change to come to you. If you're wanting a new outcome, you have to change something. You know, my advice is just to be patient and to make baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to setting goals or New Year's resolutions.
That's really good advice. My advice would be, when you have a challenge in front of you, I would say the best way to accomplish this challenge is by not playing safe. I would like to see more people take more risks, because playing safe doesn't get you anywhere, really. It doesn't get you to grow. To believe in yourself that you will take that risk and stop playing so safe and staying small. Diana?
And for me, there are so many things I can say, but I am very familiar with the negative voice syndrome. Do not let the negative voices win. Especially around your goals, especially around things you want to accomplish in your life for yourself. And a lot of that has to do around relationship issues. Speak from your heart. Speak from your heart. You deserve to be heard. You deserve to share your feelings. So don't let the negative voices stop you. And that's usually where it starts.
Thank you, Ellie, so much for being our guest tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're really happy to have you share yourself with a bigger community. Remember, like Ellie, you too can be living proof that goals can be made any day, any time, not just on New Year's. And you too can meet those goals. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. And you can.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio 91. And if you are lucky enough to get a new mobile device, iPad or Android phone as a gift this year, we have a nice addition for it. It's the KRCB mobile app. You can listen to your favorite shows like Outbeat Radio from anywhere in the world with internet access. The sound is crystal clear, and best of all, the app is free to download and use. It's available now from the Apple and Android App Store.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. You can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today? So do it today, yeah. Cause I can see you.
Listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, Radio 91, online all the time at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.